You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Rose Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Let me tell you, God is so good. And you know, we have been so blessed in this church. We're so blessed to have a pastor that we have. We're so blessed to have the Word that we have. And I feel honored every time that I walk in. Up to this pulpit, because I can tell you right now, Mike, and I'm not saying anything about me, please, but I want to tell you that Mike, when he puts somebody in the pulpit, he puts them in there believing they're going to do the right job.
That's right. Amen.
And I become very humbled. I become very emotional, very passionate about giving God's word because I want it to be right. I want it to be the right message. And I've got the right message tonight. You know, ever since I started this church in back 1984, we started confessing the Word of God back then for everything that we wanted in our lives, in our church. Everything we have confessed up until we keep changing our confession because things happen has come to pass. We have been committed. We've been consistent. We've not given up. We've not run. We've stood and fought. And we're victorious. Now I want you to know that that very same thing God is telling you tonight in your own personal lives. You stand. You persevere. You don't give up. You fight the battle and reap the victory. You will reap the victory. You will become successful. You will be what God wants you to be. If you'll follow the guidelines that's in this word right here. What we're going to talk about tonight is seizing God-given opportunities. How many of you in here have ever had an opportunity come before them? None of you, huh? Two, three, four? The rest of you just don't want to raise your hand. Because God gives us an opportunity every day. There's opportunities that comes our way every day. But we don't recognize them. The opportunity for success is opportunity for greatness. And wonderful opportunity to serve God in a greater capacity are given to us every day. If we are in the Word of God, if we're praying and we're taking the Word of God and we're believing what God says, God has given you that opportunity. It may be in your job. It may be in your marriage. It may be in your finances. It may be a ministry that God is talking to you about. Folks, a lot of us miss that opportunity for a ministry simply because we're not prepared for it. We don't recognize it because we want to run from it. We don't want to be in the ministry. In the capacity that God wants us to be in.
That's right.
You know, a lot of us wants to be up front. A lot of us wants to be seen. A lot of us want to be heard. But let me tell you, when God gives you an opportunity in the ministry, take it and run with it. Because you know what will happen? If you'll take that one and you'll run with it and you'll do it to the best of your ability, then God will promote you.
Amen.
Folks, I think there's a lot of us in here ready for promotion. But I think there's a lot of us that's not following our dreams, not following our visions, not following what God has provided for us. God wants our lives to be better for His glory.
Amen.
You know that?
Yes.
He's not looking to make your life better for yourself. That's not necessarily what it's all about. See, we've got it all completely different. We've got it about self and not about Him. If anything comes of our life, it's because of God's blessing upon us. God give us the ability. God give us the education. God give us the talent. But many of us are not using that. Many of us have excuses as to why we can't do it. But when good things are happening in your life, when you're tapping into greater levels of success and prosperity, when the peace of God is residing within you, you know what that does? It makes God look good, doesn't it? You know, when somebody sees you, hasn't seen you in a while, and you're really doing well, you're successful in maybe your business, or you're successful in life, you're really maybe got a great ministry going, and they haven't seen you in a while, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. God is just wonderful. Here's what He's done for me. Pop, 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 pop. They'll look at you and they say, whew, isn't God good? You know who gets the glory of that? God does. God does. When He makes you, when you do what He wants you to do. God wants you to seize every opportunity He gives you so that you can make progress in your spiritual life of faith. Do you know that? And I looked up seize. Seize is to take possession of suddenly, by force, or attacked. Over in Iraq, when we first went into Iraq, and went in there for an attack, and we went in there suddenly, didn't we? We went in there by force, didn't we? We went in there and seized that land for the Iraqs. The definition of opportunity is a combination of circumstances favorable for a purpose. Remember, God has a purpose for everything He does. Over in 1 Corinthians 16:9, it says, for a great door, I like to read it this way, it says, for a great and effectual door is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. When an opportunity comes your way, a God-given opportunity comes your way, there's going to be obstacles. There's going to be an adversary. There's going to be things that's going to come up. But you know, God doesn't open doors for opportunity for greater prosperity and higher income just so I can buy everything I've lusted for either. A lot of people in our churches today, I think, have got a different perspective on what prosperity means. What is your reason? What is your goal? What is your vision? What is your objective of being prosperous? Is it so you can spend all the money you can on all the nice things that you ever wanted in your life? Or is it to help the church? Is it to help further the gospel? Is it to take us to one more mission field? Is it to help those that can't help themselves? You know, we should have a purpose. We should have a reason for wanting to be successful. And it shouldn't be just because I want all the nice things in life. God says, if you'll do all these things and put me first, that all of these other things will come up on you. He'll give you all these other things. He'll provide for you. He says, my God, he'll supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But he also says he'll give you the desires of your heart. Desires of your heart may be the things that you would really like to have. Maybe you'd like to drive a Mercedes. Maybe you'd like to have a big house. But you know what? As long as those things don't have you, and as long as you do it as unto God, God will let you have those things. But he's not going to let you have those things if it's going to poison your life, if it's going to cause you to be a different person. Many people, when they become rich or they become wealthy, they become successful, they become a different person. They're not the same person that you knew before. I don't know why I'm doing this tonight. I guess maybe I needed it. But I believe the church needs to understand that we have God-given opportunities, but we miss those opportunities because we have another agenda and not God's agenda. God isn't interested in giving me a bank full of money just so I can squander it. But what God does want, he wants us to be blessed so we can be a blessing. Right? How much of a blessing, I'm going to ask you, Eva, you don't have to tell me out loud, but how much of a blessing is it when a church provides finances for you in your mission field? It means a lot, doesn't it?
Yes.
And it's something that needs to come in every month.
Yes.
It's not something that somebody can say, well, I'll give them this month, but next month I'm not going to give them anything, because that may be the month you're going to starve. That may be the month you really need that money. See, folks, God's got a different agenda for us. God wants us to be blessed so we can help others, so we can be a blessing to other families. How many families do you know just right in this area, in Wills Point, Edgewood, the area that we cover, that needs a lot of help? You run into people every day that needs to be blessed. I'd like to be able to walk up and pay somebody's rent for a month. I'd like to be able to go to Brookshire's, and when that little lady was trying to buy her groceries and she's trying to figure out her coupons that she has, just walk over and say, I'll pay for it. I'll take care of that.
That's right.
Folks, that's where I want to be. That's where God wants our heart to be. That's why that he wants to give us opportunities for us to follow. But we don't want to miss them. People miss God-given opportunities because they are insensitive if they don't recognize them. They get caught up in other problems and get caught up in negativism. As I said before, they're unprepared. They're untrained. You know, when a prize fighter gets ready to fight, what does he do? Does he go in the ring and just start fighting? He spends weeks, months, years training. He spends a lot of time out there on the track. He spends a lot of time punching those bags. He spends a lot of time shadow boxing. Because when he goes in that ring, he wants to be a winner. Folks, we are to be trained. Trained to see the opportunities that God has given. You know how we do that? Through the Word of God. By taking the Word of God, in reading the Word of God and praying and believing the Word of God, then God will open our eyes to the opportunities around us. And let me tell you something. These opportunities don't just come and stay. An opportunity may come It's gone. You need to be ready for it. You need to be ready for it. People miss opportunities because they're focused on the adversities and not the opportunities. Some of the excuses they have. It's impossible. But God said it is possible. Everything is possible with Him, didn't He? It can't be done. My God says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me my strength. I don't have what it takes. Hey, if you got God, you got all it takes. It's too risky. If you're in faith, it's not risky. There's no risk involved. What if it don't work? Or what if it does? You see what I'm saying? What if it does? What if I lose everything I have? The Bible says lose everything you have. Lose everything you have, but it's gain, isn't it? Obstacles are what we see when we take our eyes off our goals. And we got goals out there, and we got a vision out there. We take our eyes off of it, and we start seeing the obstacles instead of the vision, instead of the goal. That means we got our eyes on the wrong thing. We've got our eyes on the things that... That's what the devil wants us to do. The devil wants... Some opportunity to give up. Maybe it's ministry. Maybe it's a God has called you into the ministry to do something. Sing, preach, or whatever it is. And you answer that call, and then all of a sudden, all kinds of things start coming. All kinds of hurdles come up. All kinds of obstacles come up. I always like to think we're running an obstacle course as a Christian. Because we're constantly, if we're in tune with what God is doing in our lives, we will have obstacles in our life. And it's how we perceive them and the attitude that we have when we come against them, how we will win. The devil's going to throw his best shot. But God says, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. God says, I'm a winner and not a loser. God says, if you abide in me, I'll abide in you. But you know, oftentimes, opportunities come in overalls. You know that? That means it's work. Those of you that have not had a pair of overalls on lately don't understand that. I used to wear them a lot when I was a kid out in the fields. But overhauls sometimes mean work. So if it's work, I don't want to do it. Oh, my goodness. Think of our pastor. When our pastor come down here to take this church, and he had to go to work at another job just to feed his family, just take care of you all have heard the story. But you know what? He didn't quit. He continued to work. He was willing to persevere. He wasn't going to give up. He wasn't going to quit. And he was going to fight. He was going to do battle with the devil. And it's through that, he and the church, the members of the church, is how we have gotten to where we're at today. It's because God gave him an opportunity. Not that he thought it was a great opportunity at the time God called him, because he really didn't think much about moving to Will's Point. He really thought just staying down in Houston would have been a better deal. Rebuke the devil, but here he is. And look what he's done. Look what God has done in Will's Point, Texas. Because one person obeyed, one person took advantage of a God-given opportunity, and one person had a vision. And he never got his eyes off of that vision. Folks, as long as we have a vision, the Bible says that we should write down on the table our vision. He said the person that reads it will run with it. So we should always have a vision of where we're going, and then work towards attaining it.
Amen.
Hebrews 12:1 says, "Wherefore, since we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience or perseverance the race that is set before us." Those that stay with the thing, those that stays with the program, those that stay with faith, those that stay trusted in God is the ones that will reap the results, one that will reap the harvest. But those that quit will never see the success. They'll never see their vision. They'll never see their goal completed. And then they'll be the ones that will complain about it. Well, it doesn't work. You know, I went down there and I prayed twice. God didn't heal me. They don't work. I gave it a tithe last Sunday, first time I've done it in 5 years. You know, God didn't bless me. Hello? You got to be consistent. Consistent with your prayer, consistent with your reading the Word, consistent with trusting God. Galatians 6:9 said, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we don't quit," right? If we faint not. If we don't quit. If we stay with it. Do you think the guys that broke the record on the 100-yard dash, used to, it was unheard of to run a four-minute mile. But one day a guy went out there and run it. And when he did, it wasn't too long after that there was others out there running a four-minute mile. Because one person did it. It can be done. Now it's even better than that. Records can be broken. Records can be broken. We will reap if we don't quit. Those that quit never see the finish line. You can seize your God-given opportunities if you have confidence, if you have courage, if you have conviction, and you're consistent about it. And that scripture I tried to quote a while ago is in Habakkuk 2:2-3. "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the table, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." You know, folks that's got a call on their life to do something for God, you can't run from it. You can't hide from it. There's no cave big enough or deep enough or dark enough. There's no river wide enough. There's no rock big enough for you to get under. There's no place to hide when you have the call of God on your life. God will call you, and it'll be on your mind day in and day out. If you're not doing it, God will remind you day in and day out. Day in and day out. Until you get to the point that you either do it or you tell him, "I ain't going to do it." And that's shaky ground when you tell him, "I'm not going to do it." I think I've told this story before, but I'll share with you again tonight. My dad, when he was 21 years old, had lost his first wife. He had 3 kids living in a tent. God called him to the ministry. He said, "I want you to go to India and be a missionary." My dad said, "Whoa," he's kind of like Brother Mike, "you got the wrong cat, Jack. Not me. Hey, God, I've got 3 kids I'm trying to raise. I don't have a way. I have never been out of Oklahoma, and you want me to go to India? I don't even know where it's at. I don't have a way. I mean, all the excuses that you would give to God if he told you to go to India. I know you and you and me and every one of us would have some kind of an excuse if God told us we need to go to India. God would really have to talk to me long and hard. But if I knew it was him, I'd go. But you know, he did that and did that and did that. And he'd get up in the morning and God'd say, are you going? Are you going? And it was on his mind constantly. Till finally, one day he got up. It was cold one fall morning. He's getting ready to go to work. Worked in the oil field. And he said, God, I'm not going to India. Now, don't you ask me again. Because I'm not going. Well, he liked to tell the story that God left him at that point in time. But that's not what happened. He left God. He got so convicted. He got out of church. Was going to church. He backslid. Was a mean man. You know, not mean man, but he was a lot better when he got saved again. But he did not. He did not. And wasn't going to go. And he was about 21 years old. He was 57 years old. One day he was cutting wood, the fall of the year, and he didn't feel well. And he walked in, sat down to had an old wood stove, sat down at the wood stove and was warming himself, and he got real sick. Just real sick at the pit of his stomach. And he thought he was gonna die. He said he could absolutely smell flesh burning in hell. They were having a revival at my dad's church, mom's church. And my mother said, do you want to go to the doctor? Well, she couldn't drive. I don't know how she's planning on getting him to the doctor, but she was going to get him to the doctor some way. Didn't have a phone. Had to send smoke signals, I guess. But he said, no, I want to go to church. He went to that church, knelt at that altar at 1 o'clock or 1:30 in the afternoon. God slayed him in the spirit, filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He laid there in a trance until just 30 minutes before church started. He went home, had just enough time to kind of get things prepared at home and get back for church service that night. Told me on his dying bed, he said, son, he said, if God ever calls you, he said, I know he's got a call on your life. He said, if he ever calls you to do something, do it. Sit there and cried. He said, there's no telling how many people died and went to hell because I didn't obey God. Went to his deathbed feeling so bad that he didn't go. You know, I don't know whether God would have sent him to India. God might have just wondered if he's going to be available. Would you be available? Would you preach my gospel? But sometimes he wants to see if you are going to sacrifice. Sometimes he's going to want to know, will you do for me what I want you to do? It may not be India. It might be Wills Point, Texas. It may be Mexico. But folks, God has got an opportunity for us. He's called every one of us to do something. You know, we need an attitude change sometime. We want conditions to be perfect. Before we move, we're looking for security. We're unwilling to take risk. You know, if you were waiting for everything to be perfect before you got married, you have never got married. If you were waiting for everything to be perfect to buy that house that you have, you would have never purchased that home. If you would have waited till everything was perfect before you had children, you would have never had children. Life in itself is a risk. There's things we do every day that we take risk on. To see a Christian can trust God, they can believe God, they can know that God's there, they know what the Word says, so the risks are very slight, very minimum. The Word says over in Ecclesiastes 11:4, it says, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." The Living Bible paraphrases it, said, if you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. Especially here in Texas, if you wait till the wind dies down to sow something, you might as well just don't go out there. That doesn't happen very often. To turn an opportunity into reality, we must be willing to stretch ourselves. We must aim high, and we must be willing to take risks. Too often we want to hold on to what we have, to what we feel secure in. You know, it's hard for people to change, even as a Christian. You know, when you first get saved, sometimes it's hard to turn loose of some of the old habits, some of the old things. But thank God, the grace of God has given us the ability to do just that. Even a turtle doesn't get ahead until he sticks his neck out. You know that? You ever notice you come up to an old turtle, he'll just pull that old head in and he'll sit there in that shell. Feels protected. He feels like he's secure. As soon as you walk away, that head goes out and away he goes. We're created to be a success. God designed us to be successful. We can seize our God-given opportunities and turn them into reality. Because we were created and designed by God to be successful in every endeavor in our life. If we'll make God our partner in everything that we do, and it doesn't make any difference where you're starting a business, doesn't make any difference where you're entering into a marriage, or where you're moving into a new home, or you want to buy something expensive, God ought to be your partner in everything that you do. Because we don't have to be failures. We're not designed by God to fail. We're designed by God to win. Over in Genesis, first chapter, 26th verse, and God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth." Verse 27, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Verse 28 said, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, be prosperous, and multiply. He told Noah after the flood, be fruitful and multiply. All through the Old Testament. Different characters. He said, be fruitful. Go prosper. Abraham, he prospered. Isaac, he prospered. Joseph, he prospered. Folks, we're under a new covenant. He's prospering us as well. Three steps to seizing God's opportunities. One, perceive it or see it. Before you can lay hold on an opportunity, you must have a vision, a concept of what God is calling you to do. You must see a cause that is much bigger than yourself. Helen Keller was asked, what would you say is worse than being blind? You know what she said? Having no vision. She was blind. But she's talking about a vision, a purpose, a goal, an objective, some place to go. Declare it. Be bold to declare what you see. Be bold to say what God has called you to do. And then lay hold upon it. Number three, don't hang around waiting for something to happen. Lay hold of that dream. Grab a hold of that dream. Grab a hold of that vision. Grab a hold of that opportunity. And take it and run with it. Lay a hold on your dream. Your opportunity is not just going to come to you. You have to go to it. You know, I don't think the church is doing near what God expects of them, all of us. God has laid out opportunities for us to succeed. He's laid out opportunities for us to be very successful in life, very successful in our Christian walk with Him. But folks, many times fear creeps in. Many times we're afraid to take that initial step. We're afraid of failure. We're afraid of, you know, there's one thing about David. David wasn't afraid, okay? When he come up against the giants, when he come up against Goliath, he wasn't afraid. You know what? He was upset with his brothers and the army of Israel because they would not do what they should have done, what he was about to do, because they were a God-chosen generation. They had a covenant with God. God was going to take care of them. God told them He'd take care of them. Said He'd fight their battles. And David come in there, and every time the giant would come up, they would run. And he said, "What is the deal with this? What's going on? This guy is defying the armies of the living God. Don't you guys understand that God is your source? God is your leader? What are you doing here? You got a whole army here, and you're running like a bunch of scared rabbits." And what did David do? David said, "I'll take him." First of all, he found out what kind of opportunity was he going to get. He asked that twice. He heard it the first time. Then he said, "Tell me again. Tell me again what that was." He was going to get the riches. He was going to get the hand of the daughter of the king. He knew what was in it for him. But you know what? That wasn't the reason he did it. He did it because he was upset because they had a Philistine out there that was defying the army of the living God, was defying what he had been brought up for, and he had already been through the battles. They wasn't giants, but to him they were giants. He won those battles. He told Saul, he said, "Hey, I've already won some battles. I may have not won the battles that Goliath had, but you know what? My God will take me through this." Saul even tried to give him his armor, and he said, "Oh no, this hadn't been proven. But this slingshot has been proven. It is a God idea right here, buddy. I'm telling you, I'm going to sling that thing, and God's going to direct that rock, that stone, it's going to kill Goliath." And he did. He prophesied what he was going to do. He went out and did exactly what he was going to do. He could say that because he had confidence and faith that God would do exactly what he said he would do. Because he knew what the covenant was. He knew that God said that he would protect them, he'd take care of them, and that's exactly what he did. But folks, we need to not be fearful. We need not to be afraid. We need to step out and grab a hold of the God-given opportunity he's given us. Thank you, and God bless you.